needs to see wisdom. You know, some of the things that I decided in 2021 to do a little bit different than what I normally do is, here's a couple of them. You may care, you may not care. One of the things, I'm reading through the New Testament this year, and I encouraged our church to do that. I've encouraged the men to do that. And we're in the book of Mark, and the book of Mark has been incredibly what I need every single day as we've gone into 2021. That's one thing I've done. The other thing is I focused on memorizing a scripture a week and focusing on what it says and meditating on it. And that is so very, very important to do. And then the other thing I've done that has radically changed my life is I don't listen to the news till maybe 3 o'clock, and I just check it, then I turn it off. Because I felt like too much of that was getting into me instead of God's Word. And one of the things I've discovered is there's been a peace that I haven't had. Because you see, people, wisdom, and this is so important, wisdom is in Scripture. That's why as believers in Jesus Christ, it's incredibly important to make sure we have Scripture dominating our hearts and our minds. Let's look at this strange chapter. We're doing the whole chapter this morning. Let me read it to you and then we'll get started. Beginning in verse 1, and we talked a little bit about this last week, it says, as dead flies cause even a bottle of perfume to stink, so a little foolishness spoils great wisdom and honor. A wise person chooses the right road, a fool takes the wrong. You can identify fools just by the way they walk down the street. Now, I would love to talk to the writer of Proverbs and say, what exactly did you mean by that? Are they doing cartwheels? Are they, you know, walking dangerously in front of chariots? I don't know what. But evidently, these fools, you could identify them simply by the way they walk down the street. I would love to know exactly what that is. Verse 4, if your boss is angry at you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. There is another evil I have seen under the sun. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake when they give great authority to foolish people and low positions to people of proven worth. I have even seen servants riding horseback like princes and princes walking like servants. When you dig a well, this is the part that's kind of comical to me. When you dig a well, you might fall in. When you demolish an old wall, you could be bitten by a snake. When you work in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. When you chop wood, there is danger with each stroke of your axe. That is true. I've nearly cut my leg off several times, splitting wood and doing things I shouldn't be doing because I'm ignorant. Foolish. I'll say I'm foolish when it comes to using an axe. Okay? And then look at verse 10. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole chapter. Using a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. Don't just keep hacking with an axe that's dull. Sharpen the blade. And then look what he says. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. If a snake bites you before you charm it, what's the use of being a snake charmer? I wanted to go into detail about snake charming because it was kind of interesting to me, but I don't have time. But anyway, we'll talk about the meaning in a second. Wise words bring approval, but fools are destroyed by their own words. Fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions, so their conclusions will be wicked madness. They chatter on and on. No one really knows what's going to happen. No one can predict the future. Fools are so exhausted by a little work that they can't even find their way home. What sorrow for the land ruled by a servant, the land whose leaders feast in the morning. Happy is the land whose king is a noble leader and whose leaders feast at the proper time to gain strength for their work and not to get drunk. Laziness leads to a sagging roof. Idleness leads to a leaky house. A party gives laughter, wine gives happiness, and money gives everything. Never make light of the king, even in your thoughts. And don't make fun of the powerful, even in your own bedroom, for a little bird might deliver your message and tell them what you said. You ever heard that expression, a little birdie told me? That's where it comes from. Isn't that weird? You ever heard of the expression, work smarter, not harder? Verse 10. You get some of these sayings from Scripture. We're going to talk really not so much how to be wise this morning as how not to be foolish. Now last week, and I want to give this to you again because I believe this is essential. Last week I talked about how to be wise. There's four things. If you weren't here last week, write them down. Because in these days, we need to be wise. And we need to understand what Scripture says. First of all, the first step to being wise is you ask for wisdom. You ask for wisdom. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you're not wise, it's probably because you're not asking. So number one is you ask and God will give you wisdom. But the second thing is you've got to do this. You've got to spend time in the Scriptures. You will not be wise, as the Bible describes wise, if you don't read your Bible. Hearing me one day a week is not going to make you wise. Spending time in God's Word daily will make you wise. Proverbs 2:4 says, search for them. What is them? If you go back to the context, wisdom and understanding. Search for them as you would silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. You search the Scripture. That's why I said read the book of Mark. Men, we're at chapter, is it chapter 10 tomorrow? 12? Where are we? I looked at it.
14.
14?
14 would be more 13
today. Greg got on to me because I was reading ahead. I gave the assignment and then I misunderstood my own instructions and I was behind. I determined I would never be behind again, so I'm way ahead now. But we'll meet tomorrow night, and I want to hear what God said to you because there's a lot of good stuff there. Search the Scriptures. Wisdom is in the Scriptures. The third thing, if you want to be wise, you got to hang around spiritually wise people. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get into trouble. And then the fourth thing is seek wise counsel. In Proverbs 20:18, it says, plans succeed through good counsel. Godly counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. So those are the things I talked about last week about how to get wisdom. You got to ask, you got to search, you got to hang, and you got to seek. And if you do those things, you will grow to be a wise person. So what is a fool? Oh my goodness, people, just turn on the TV. I had to turn it off. I got so frustrated. What is a fool in our world? Well, first of all, you got to understand we use fool differently than the way the Scripture uses fool. You know, I'm going to say, hey, you're a fool. What I mean is you're goofy. You know, I don't really mean you're a fool, but Scripture's meaning of fool is pretty serious. Matter of fact, it talks about a fool as one who doesn't what? Honor God, respect God, believe in God. A fool is a person who is senseless. A fool is a careless person. A fool is, I hate to use the word, stupid. That it's a duller. They're stupid. A fool is someone who gets this. They disregard God and His Word. So when the Scripture talks about being a fool, you're talking about a careless person. You're talking about a foolish person. You're talking about a person who doesn't care about what God says, a person who only cares what they think, and a fool is dangerous. A fool is dangerous. So let's look at some things in chapter 10. Number one, fools make bad choices. They do not make good choices. In verse 1, you had the story about, or the saying about the perfume stinking because some flies were in it. Okay? Why would it stink because some flies were in it? Well, the question we ought to be asking is, why do they leave the flies in the perfume? Because they're careless. They're fools. They're not wise. And if you get enough flies into something and they die, they stink. And so we see here that this person in verse 1 is described as a fool because they choose not to do something. And they choose to do things that are not right. And I love what he says. So a little foolishness, a little carelessness, a little ungodliness, what does it do? It spoils great wisdom and honor. But look at verse 2. A wise person chooses the right road. A fool takes the wrong road. You see, fools make choices. And every person has a choice in life. You can either choose to do things God's way, or you can choose to do things your way. You see, a wise person is a person who is comfortable with authority. They understand authority structures. A wise person is a person who desires to do right. They desire to follow the rules. A wise person is a person who has no problem by doing what God wants them to do. That's a wise person. On the other hand, a fool is a person who resists authority. A fool is a person who is disobedient to God and God's Word. A fool is not into God's Word. A fool, get this, makes up his own rules. You can make up your own rules as a human being, and I guarantee you that if you do that, there's a good chance that a lot of them are foolish. That's why I plead with you week in and week out. Make sure you're opening your Bible and reading it on a daily basis. If you're putting more of what the TV has to say or the radio has to say about wisdom than you're putting God's Word, you're putting the wrong thing in. You see, godly people want to make the right choices. They want to go down the right road. They do not want to go down the other road. We live in a world that says you determine what's right and you determine what's wrong, when God's Word says here's what's right, you either do it or you don't. A fool is a person who makes bad choices because they choose not to honor God in His Word and to live their lives according to Scripture. As a matter of fact, verse 3 is kind of just making fun of it, but you can identify a fool just by the way they walk down the street. Maybe a modern translation would be, you can identify a fool by the way they drive their car. You've seen some people driving foolishly. You go, man, they're an idiot. There's laws. A fool can easily be identified if you watch them long enough. Fools are not concerned about Scripture. Fools are not concerned about doing those things that honor God. They're just not. And they make choices to do what they want to do. And there's a good chance that maybe you're living as a fool If you're not asking God for wisdom, if you're not searching the Scriptures, if you're not spending time around godly people and seeking wise counsel, there's a chance that you may be living a foolish life. Proverbs 29:18. It's the one that you've heard, and the King James said that where there's no vision, the people perish. But that's not really as good of a translation as it really is. Proverbs 29:18, listen to this. New Living. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. I love that. They run wild. When people don't accept divine guidance, they run wild. But whoever obeys the law is joyful. It comes back to Scripture. Don't be foolish. Get in God's Word and make wise choices. Second thing. Fools are hot-headed. Man, have we seen some hot-headed stuff this last week. And the week before that. And the week before that. And the week before. It's on both sides. I made a comment about it. It's on both sides of the football. People are making irrational, unbiblical choices. And they're hot-headed. They get caught up in the moment. But listen to verse 4. If your boss is angry at you, you quit. That's what a lot of people do. They get mad and quit. Look, if your boss is angry at you, don't quit. A quiet spirit can overcome even great mistakes. One of the hardest things to do in this world is to keep your calm spirit, especially when you're attacked. Listen to the English Standard Version. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place. Do not abandon your post. For calmness will lay great offenses to rest. You see, we are cautioned in verse 4 not to panic, not to make hasty reaction when things happen to us by those in authority over us. As a matter of fact, what the writer in verse 4 is saying is that we ought to have that quiet spirit, that calm spirit. When someone attacks you, let me just tell you this. When someone attacks you, instead of getting louder, get quieter. You have someone come in and they're exploding over you about, maybe it's a boss. Don't yell back. Get calmer. You see, God's Word gives us some great advice. Strength lies in maintaining control, not flying off the handle. Here's what I can guarantee you. If you fly off the handle when someone else is flying off the handle, you've got two people flying off the handle and it's a mess. Right? We've got to be wise. Fools scream, holler, and storm out saying, I used to tell somebody, don't ever quit your job before you have another job. I'm going to show them I'm going to quit my job. And they don't have a job. The Scripture would say that is foolish. Line up another job and quit. I'm cool with that. But if you don't have another job lined up in your anger and in your reaction, you quit and show them. The only thing you're showing is you're not very wise. You see, we've got to understand that keeping calm when everybody else is going nuts is very biblical. Meekness is the New Testament word. It means power under control. One of the real tests of your spiritual maturity is when everybody else is out of control, if you can be meek. And meek is the word that's used to describe not only Christians, but Jesus Himself. Man, that's a tough one. I'll be the first to say it. The Today's English Version translates verse 4, if your ruler becomes angry with you, don't hand in your resignation. Serious wrongs may be pardoned if you keep calm. There is something calming about a calm person. You know what I'm talking about? And as wisdom, it's wisdom for us as God's people to be calm when others are not. Now, he goes on to give you some other craziness. In verse 5, he says, there's another evil under the sun. Kings and rulers make a grave mistake. And this is a grave mistake. What is the mistake? When they give authority to foolish people. Here's the amazing thing about fools. They put other fools in power positions. You want wise people in wise positions because wise people typically put wise people in positions. But here's the thing I can tell you. You see it in politics all the time. It's been around since history. You put a fool in a position of power, and guess who he's going to put in power? A fool. That's what he's talking about foolish people in low positions. They put someone who's got talent, someone who is the right person, they put them in a low position. I've seen that in churches for years. They put people in positions of power that have no business being in positions of power, except maybe they've been in that church 100 years. You put people in positions because they're competent, not because they're people. Right? And I promise you, you put an unwise person in a position of authority, you've got problems. Right? I guarantee you in the work world you will. And so he's lamenting the fact, and still the same advice for verse 4 goes to verses 5 through 7. Basically, if you've got someone over you who's foolish, keep calm. Keep your composure. Be meek. Understand, incompetent people put incompetent people in places of authority. Why? Because that's all they know is incompetent. So don't be surprised at that. But when you get attacked, keep your cool. Don't panic. Don't overreact. The greatest danger to us is overreaction. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9 said this. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. That's pretty good advice. Third thing. Fools are not successful. In verse 8 and 9, we see the truth about fools. They do not see danger coming. Look at verses 8 and 9. They seem kind of foolish, don't they? Because they are foolish. When you dig a well, you might fall in. If you're not, you could dig a well, you could dig a hole in your backyard and forget that you dug a hole and walk into it if you don't cover it up. If you're foolish, he's saying there's a potential. When you dig a well, you might fall in. And the chance of falling in is greater is if you're foolish, if you're careless, if you're not thinking through things. Look at the next one. When you demolish an old wall in that part of the world, you could get bitten by a snake. Why? Because snakes would get in the crevices of buildings. And let's just say it, it's not out of the possibility that if you stick your hand through a wall that you get bit. I mean, it's a possibility. Now, is it going to happen? We don't know. Probably not, but it's a possibility. It gets a little closer to home, though, when you get to verse 9. When you work in a quarry, stones might fall and crush you. And that's possible, right? I have heard of people digging holes and getting in the hole and the hole caving in on them. I mean, if you're not careful, if you're not wise, simple things can hurt you. And then the last one is so true. When you chop wood, there is danger with each stroke of your axe. Man, I mean, you know, you get that thing and you got that piece of wood and you come down, I mean, you can really do damage. I guarantee there's probably some in this room that has been cutting wood with an axe that have come close to cutting their leg off, especially with the chainsaw. But he's using these examples to say you need to be wise in the everyday things of life. You need to be careful. You need to use wisdom because here's when I learned that. You know, I have started messing with wood and trying to act like I can cut things and all that. I got a table saw. Okay? Let me tell you something. One of the biggest dangers of my table saw is me forgetting that it could cut my finger off. And you know, if you're ever around somebody that knows what they're doing, they'll get their hand, they'll push it through like this. Listen, I haven't got there yet. I'm kind of like, that table saw, that's bad business. It could cut my finger off. Same way with, I used to think, man, I even thought about it not too long ago. To fit in Mount Ida, you got to have a chainsaw. I mean, I remember when they cut that tree down over here, everybody come out with their chainsaw. Sam's got one in each hand, and they're just, you know, going after it. And, you know, let me tell you what, a chainsaw can cut your leg off if you don't know what you're doing. If you're careless, if you're not wise. But you get to verse 10 and you see the point. In verse 10, he says, using a dull axe requires great strength. Amen? Using a dull knife is a lot harder. But look what he says. So sharpen the blade. Common sense. Sharpen the blade. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. One of the things we need to know is that God wants us to be wise. We're constantly trying to figure out, okay, Wednesday nights with our kids, youth, and adults, how can we do that better? And we make mistakes and whatever, but you know what? It's kind of like stop, sharpen the blade, try to figure out what to do next. Really, as a church, you should always do that. You know, a dull axe requires great strength, so sharpen the blade. And it's always that way in your life. How can you do family better? How can you do marriage better? How can you do church better? Sharpen your blade. Use godly wisdom to be better. That's how you're successful. The wise worker will pause his labor and say, I got a dull axe. I'm going to sharpen it. The wise Christian will do the same thing. And then look at verse 11. Isn't that a weird one? It says, if a snake bites before you charm it, what's the use of being a snake charmer? Well, here's the deal. People make money doing that snake charming thing. And you know, they get that little thing and they play the music. And they're going like this, aren't they? I thought it was the music. It's not the music. Because I don't think snakes hear. Or they don't hear like we hear. You know what he's doing with that wand that he's moving? He's hypnotizing them or controlling them. But here's the thing. A snake charmer trains the snake to be a snake charmer snake before he goes out and tries to make money. Here would be the foolish thing. They usually find the snakes and they're part of where they live. Sometimes they'll glue its mouth, sew its mouth. Sometimes there's all kinds of, I've read 1,000 different things. But here's the deal. How foolish would it be for me, let's just say me. I go out and I find a rattlesnake. And I bring it here in the church, got it by the head. And I'm walking in and I'm going to show you my skills. That would be foolish because I know nothing about rattlesnakes. I'm not touching a rattlesnake unless they sew that mouth up. I'm just not going to do it. And what he's saying here is this guy who's going to make money is not very smart because he's going to make no money because they usually in India use cobras and if a cobra bites you, you're probably going to die. But the thing that was lacking is preparation, wise preparation. And the wisdom for you and me is that we need to be wise in our preparation. We don't need to rush into things. We need to be careful. We need to never be presumptuous. Overconfidence messes everything up. In anything you do, when you become overconfident. And so what he is saying, if you're foolish, you're unsuccessful. But if you're wise, you will be successful. Be wise. Don't be foolish. Fourth thing. Oh, we know this one. Fools have destructive speech. Look at verse 12. Wise words bring approval. A person who's godly and a person who has wise words, it brings approval. But listen to what he says. But fools are destroyed by their own words. It literally means that their own words consume them. Have you ever noticed that about a fool? Just give them enough rope and what will they do? hang themselves. And they don't hang themselves by what they do. They hang themselves by what they say. Fools say foolish things. As a matter of fact, it says fools base their thoughts on foolish assumptions. So their conclusions will be what? Wicked madness. They chatter on and on. You see, foolish people just speak. They just say the things. And they base their information on foolish information. Listen, we live in an information world. But let me tell you, much of the information out there is wrong and foolish. You know, a lot of people are basing their wisdom off the National Enquirer. Is that even a thing anymore? I remember, I don't think they have it at the grocery store here, but I remember in Dallas getting in line, and there's that National Enquirer, and mom has baby with three heads, you know, something like that. You see, a fool's going to be quoting from the National Enquirer or quote the internet. People, there's ways to check what you learn on the internet. Don't believe everything you read on the internet. And sometimes I just sit and I go, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And understand what comes out of your heart comes out of your mouth. So what do you do to change that? How do you become wise? You put the wisdom of God in your heart. And then that comes out of your mouth. You see, fools are destroyed by their own words. I mean, think about how many of those guys are in jail right now, wish they wouldn't have put themselves on Facebook or Instagram, talking about sitting in the Pelosi's office. I mean, I'm not saying right or left. I'm just saying foolish. Anytime you break the law, I just am amazed. Don't. If I break the law, I'm not going to take pictures of it. Greg, isn't that the best way to get away with wrongdoing? Is you don't videotape it and put it on Facebook? I mean, guys, it's in your own words that you convict yourself. We need to understand that fools are destroyed by their own words because they speak foolish words. Don't come to me with wisdom if you're not ever in God's Word. And here's the thing. Fools suffer the most for being foolish. It makes the rest of us miserable, but in the end, they end up hanging themselves. You see, fools have destructive speech. They base their information on foolish assumptions. They are consistently foolish in what they say from beginning to end. And to make matters worse, they just won't shut up. You know what Proverbs 10:19 says, which is wisdom literature? Too much talk leads to sin. Less is more. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible. And I love the way the New Living Translation says it. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. You know the best way to look wise is to say nothing. It's also a way to stay out of trouble. Be wise in your speech. Foolish people in verse 14 talk about the future like they know it. The truth is only one person knows the future, and that's God. Truth, you see, the truth is a foolish person has trouble finding his way home. But he's just painting a picture of a guy who's careless, senseless, and talks too much. And then in Proverbs 21:23, best advice again, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. Fools are in trouble because they talk too much. Fifth thing, fools are irresponsible. Fools are irresponsible. If you look in verse 15, he says, you know, fools are exhausted by a little work that they can't even find their way home. And then he says, what sorrow for a land ruled by a servant. What he's talking about, how sad for a land that is ruled by someone who really shouldn't be in that position, because a servant would never be ruling a nation. He says, What sorrow for the land ruled by a servant, and then it shows their self-centeredness, the land whose leaders feast in the morning. In other words, there are people who get into positions of power, and they get into power for themselves. They feast in the morning. And then it says, what sorrow for the land ruled, verse 17, happy is the land whose king is a noble leader and whose leaders feast at the proper time to gain strength for their work, not to get drunk. You see, there are leaders and there are rulers who do it right. They care about their people. And then there's fools. It's all about themselves. And then he says, laziness leads to a sagging roof. Idleness to a leaky house. You see, the person who is foolish is irresponsible. How many of you have a home? Raise your hand. Come on. Interactive. You're about to go to sleep. Okay. Aren't you getting tired sometimes of having to always fix stuff? But if you don't fix stuff, guess what? It just gets worse. You see, the fool's going to say, I'm done. And the house starts leaking and there's all kinds of things. And then he says, a party gives laughter. You see, for a fool, life is a party. Wine gives happiness. And money gives everything. That's a fool. That's not a godly way, a wise way. And he says, never make light of the king, even in your thoughts. And don't make fun of the powerful, even in your bedroom. For a little bird might deliver your message and tell them what you said. Basically, just let it go. Sometimes it's better to be quiet. And when Solomon's looking at this, and it's kind of interesting because if you think about it, he's a king. And he's seen the best leaders and the worst leaders. And he's giving us wise wisdom. So I guess I want to close with this. Have you asked God to give you wisdom? Are you searching the Scriptures to know truth? Are you walking with wise people? Are you seeking wise counsel? If you've got those things in place, you're probably going to be wise. If not, you're probably going to be foolish. Make sure you're wise, not foolish. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And help us to be wise. Help us to be the kind of people who want to know your word and want to live by your truth. And Lord, we live in a world of such confusion. And Lord, help us to be the kind of people who do things correctly. And Father, I thank you that that you don't just leave us out here to make dumb mistakes. We can see some mistakes and avoid them. But more than anything else this morning, I pray that each one of us will leave and go out into the world today where there's so much foolishness. And we would be wise. And here's the thing, we would be Jesus wise. Not worldly wise, Jesus wise. Because people need to see wisdom. Father, we thank you for your word, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.